In John chapter 4, Jesus describes the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now for the next few minutes, stay tuned to Worship in Spirit and Truth with Pastor Jeff Scoggin.
Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, I pray that your spirit would be near, that you would fill my mind, my heart, give me the words to speak today, and give each one of us the attitude to be receptive to the things that you will challenge us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Long ago, a wise and good king called together the citizens of the land to speak with them and to enter into an agreement with them. He told them that they had a choice to make between loyalty to his government or disloyalty. They could obey the laws of the land and be loyal citizens, or they could disobey the laws of the land and be criminals. They needed to make a decision. The wise and good king outlined the terms of the agreement with specifics in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the people gladly accepted them. You remember, they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." He made clear in that agreement that there would be wonderful, great rewards for loyalty. For instance, the people would be blessed with children, good crops, prosperity. They would not be defeated by their enemies. He would open the heavens and he would pour out life-giving rain. He would protect them from plagues and from wild animals and from things that would otherwise hurt them. In a word, the king said that he would be their protector. That was the agreement between the king and the citizens. Citizens would give their allegiance to the king, and the king would give protection, prosperity, blessing to the citizens. When a citizen was loyal to the king was a great benefactor and protector and rewarder. On the other side of the agreement, naturally, disloyalty carried consequences. If the people chose not to be worthy to the king, or to be loyal to the king by not obeying the laws of the kingdom, there would be grave consequences. For instance, the rains would be withheld, and what managed to grow would be destroyed by locusts, and diseases and plagues would rage throughout the land. That was the flip side of the deal between king and citizens. If the citizens withheld their loyalty and obedience, the king then would withhold protection and prosperity from the people. The citizens, if they became traitors to the king would no longer be a great benefactor, protector, and rewarder. Instead, he would be judge and avenger. Tell me, are the terms of the agreement fair? Are they fair? If you were king, would you expect and reward loyalty? Of course you would. Would you punish criminals and traitors? Of course you would. The terms of the agreement are absolutely and entirely fair. And yet, fair though the terms be, the king knew and expected that his citizens would not remain loyal. He knew. He knew they would disobey, that they would betray their king. Rather than being angry about this, however, the king planned, way in advance, a way of reconciliation between him and his people. When the consequences of their disobedience, their disloyalty, woke them up to the situation, the king had prepared a way for them and for him to be reconciled. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, our scripture reading, 13 to 15, lays out his plan. 2 Chronicles 7, beginning in verse 13. This is what the king said. When I shut up the heavens, okay? He knew this was going to happen. He didn't say if. He said when. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. So when the citizens were shaken back to reality by the terrible things that were happening to them, when they recognized that they had been disloyal to their king, there was something that they could do. They could pray. They could seek his face. They could turn from their wicked ways. And when they did that, God promised that he would hear them and would forgive them and would heal their land. Prayer repairs what has been broken. The covenant, of course, comes from the Old Testament, long, long ago. Do you think that the terms of the covenant still apply today? Tell me, would it make sense for them not to apply anymore? Would it make any sense for the king to say, well, that was then, this is now, go ahead, be disloyal, disobey me, I'll just keep on blessing you? Does that even make sense? No, of course not. It's obviously ludicrous. The terms of the agreement still apply. Nevertheless, most of the world has chosen to be disloyal to the king, and therefore, the physical consequences of our disloyalty to God can be observed all around us. The negative side of the covenant is evident in our world everywhere. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. When I command the locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. Now, does anybody here deny that the weather has gone crazy? Disease is rampant in our world. War is unceasing. The planet is slowly being destroyed because we are not loyal to our king. But there's more going on than just the physical world around us. There's more going wrong than just physical life. The king is still at work, but on a different level than he worked thousands of years ago, because with the revelation of Jesus, our knowledge of God has grown to new levels. And along with it, the blessings and the curses of the covenant have grown in magnitude as well. The curses of the covenant extend far deeper than just the weather and disease and ecological disaster. There is also spiritual disaster. Read 2 Chronicles 7 again, 13. But read it through spiritual lenses rather than physical lenses, okay? When I shut up the heavens so that there is no spiritual rain. We know what spiritual rain is, right? The Holy Spirit being poured out, the former and the latter rains. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no spiritual rain, or command spiritual locusts to devour the land, or to send a spiritual plague among my people. And I'm not just making these things up. It's in the book of Revelation. We read about plagues that fall upon the earth, including no rain, disease, and locusts. They're all in there. And in many ways, those plagues have had and will continue to have a physical fulfillment. But in Revelation, primarily, these plagues are symbols of spiritual disaster. Spiritual disasters that will fall and continue to fall, have fallen and will continue to fall on this earth. We live in a society. We go to church. with people who call themselves Christians, who have a form of godliness, but deny its power. We live in a society where the lines between right and wrong have become so blurred that they're nearly unrecognizable. The reign of the Holy Spirit no longer falls the way that it used to in the early church. And therefore, we are living in spiritual famine for the Word of God. That is the reality of life today. In Revelation, we also see locusts coming up out of the abyss. Ugly pictures. And that is a symbol of the secularism that has invaded even the Christian church. We see plagues being poured out of diseases, which is a symbol of the spiritual disease that blinds and weakens and destroys our relationship with God. The king's agreement with the citizens of the land is still in effect. And we are experiencing the curses of the covenant as a result of our disloyalty. But as in Old Testament times, there is still a solution. 2 Chronicles 7 is still a promise that prayer will repair what has been broken. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. We're way overdue for a return to loyalty and obedience to our King. So let's avail ourselves of the way that He's provided. Let's humble ourselves. Let's pray. Let's seek His face. Let's turn from our wicked ways. And when we do that, we will begin to see the curses of the covenant fade away, and the blessings will begin to grow, because God says prayer repairs what has been broken.
Thank you for joining Pastor Jeff Scoggins today for Worship in Spirit and Truth. We would love to hear your thoughts about the program, and your financial support is also greatly appreciated so that we can continue bringing you these kinds of programs. Tell your friends they can find the program Spirit and Truth right here on this station. Stay tuned for contact information and more details from your local station to follow. Until next time, keep your mind fixed on Jesus.